Next, chapter 84, sacrificial ceremonies done by Vasudeva. Amongst the women, there were Kunti, Gandhari, Draupadi, Subhadra, and the queens of many other kings, as well as the gopis from Vrindavan. When the different queens of Lord Krishna was submitting their statements, how they were married and how they were accepted by Lord Krishna as his wife, all the female members of Kuru dynasty became struck with wonder how all the queens of Krishna were attached to him by love and affection. When they understood about the intensity of love and affection for Krishna of the queens, they could not check their eyes being filled up with tears. In this way, when the female members were engaged in conversation amongst themselves, and the male members were also engaged in conversation, at that moment, almost all important sages and ascetics from all directions came to see Lord Krishna and Balaram on the spot. Chief amongst them were Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa, the great sage Narada, Chavana, Devala, Asita, Vishwamitra, Satananda, Bharadwaj, Gautam, and Lord Parshuram, along with his disciples, Vasishtha, Galab, Bhrigu, Pulastha, Kashyap, Atri, Markandeya, Brihaspati, Dita, Trita, Ekata, and the sons of Brahma, namely Sanat, Sanandan, Sanatan, Sanatkumar, Angira, Agastha, Jagavalka, and Bhamade. As soon as the sages and ascetics arrived on the spot, all the kings like Maharaj Yudhisthira, the Pandavas, including Lord Krishna and Balaram, after seeing the sages present, immediately they got up from their seat and they offered their respect by bowing down to the universally respected sages. After this, the sages were properly welcomed by offering them seeds, water for washing feet, eatable fruits, garlands of flowers, incense, sandalwood pulp, and all the kings led by Krishna and Balaram worship the sages according to the Vedic rules and regulations. This way, when all the sages were seated comfortably, that time Lord Krishna, who descended for the protection of religion, began to address them on behalf of all other kings. Krishna was speaking, there was pin drop silence to hear and understand Lord Krishna's speech in welcoming the sages. Next paragraph. Lord Krishna began to say as follows, within quotation: all glories to the assembled sages and ascetics. Today, all of us feeling life to have become successful, think today we have achieved the desired goal of life, because we are seeing now face to face all exalted, liberated sages and ascetics before us, who are desired to be seen even by great demigods in the heaven. Persons who are neophyte in religious life or devotional service, who simply try to offer their respect or obeisances to the deity in the temple, but cannot realize that the Lord is situated in everyone's heart, or those who are simply worshippers of different devi gods for fulfilling their lusty desires, such persons are unable to understand the importance of all these sages. They cannot take advantage of receiving these sages by seeing them with their eyes, by touching their lotus feet, by inquiring about their welfare, or by worshipping them diligently. Protection clause. Theophile devotees are religionists, cannot understand the importance of great Mahatma. They go to the temple as a matter of formality and concentrate their respectful obeisances unto the deities. Such status of mind is for the neophyte. When one is still promoted to the next platform of advanced consciousness, one can understand the importance of Mahatmas and devotees. In that state, a neophyte devotee tries to please them. Therefore, Lord Krishna said that a neophyte cannot understand the importance of great sages, devotees, or ascetics. Lord Krishna continued to say, within quotation, one cannot purify himself by traveling in holy places of pilgrimages and taking bath there or seeing the deities in the temples. But if one happens to meet a great devotee and Mahatma who is representative of the personality of Godhead, one becomes immediately purified. In order to become purified, there is injunction to worship fire, the sun, the moon, the earth, the water, the air, the sky, the mind, and their predominating deities. By worshipping all these elements and the predominating deities, one can become free from the differentiation of envy. But all kinds of sins of such envious persons can be nullified immediately by service of a great soul. By revered sages and respectful kings present here, you can take it from me that a person who accepts this material body made of three elements, mucus, bile, and air, as one's own self, considers his family and relative as his own man, and accepts material things as worshipable, and visits holy places of pilgrimage just to take bath only, but never associates with great personalities, sages and Mahatmas. Such a person, even in the form of a human being, is nothing but an animal like an ant. Next, when the supreme authority Lord Krishna was speaking with great gravity at that time, all the sages, ascetics remained dead silent. Practically, they became bewildered by hearing him speaking the philosophy of life in such short-cut way. Unless one is very much advanced in knowledge, one thinks this body as self and the family members as an kith and kid, and the land of birth as worshipable. From this concept of life, the modern ideology of nationalism has sprung up. Lord Krishna condemns such ideas, and he also condemns such persons who go to holy places of pilgrimage without taking advantage of great devotees and Mahatma living there. Simply takes the trouble of taking bath and come back. Such persons are compared with animals. Not only animals, but the most foolish animals, the ass. So all of them considered the speech of Lord Krishna for some time. Then they concluded that the Lord, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet you are playing the role of an ordinary human being who is forced to take a certain type of body as resultant reaction of his past deeds. Such pastime for the Lord was simply to teach the people in general how they should live for perfection of human mission. And they concluded like this, all of them began to address Lord Krishna and say as follows within quotation. My dear Lord, we, all the leaders of the human society and supposed to have possessed the philosophy of life, still we are becoming bewildered by the spell of your external energy. We are simply surprised to see your behavior just like an ordinary human being and concealing your real identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are engaged in activities like an ordinary human being. We consider, therefore, my Lord, your pastimes are all wonderful. My dear Lord, you are, by your own energy, creating, maintaining, and inheriting the whole cosmic manifestation of different names and forms, exactly like the art which, after creating so many forms of stone, trees, and pots of varieties of names and forms, still the art remains the same one. Although you are creating in such a way varieties of manifestation through your energy, you are unaffected by all those actions. My dear Lord, we simply remain stunted by seeing your wonderful actions in that way. My dear Lord, although you are transcendental to all this material creation, the Supreme Lord and Super Soul of all living entities, still for the protection of your devotees and destruction of the miscreants, you appear on this earth by your internal potency, and by such appearance you re-establish the principles of eternal religion which the human society forgets by long association of material energy. My dear Lord, you are the creator of the social order and spiritual status of the human society according to quality and worth. And when they are misplaced or misguided by unscrupulous persons, you appear and set them right in order. My dear Lord, the Vedic knowledge is representation of your pure heart. Austerities, studies of Vedas, meditation, best to remain in trance, are different poses of realization of your features of manifested and non-manifested aspects. The phenomenal material world is manifestation of your impersonal energy, and your personality of Godhead is not manifested there. Though the Supreme Soul, the Supreme Brahma, persons who are situated in Brahminical culture can therefore understand about your transcendental form. As such, you always hold in respect such Brahmins. Thus, you are considered to be the topmost of all followers of Brahminical culture. You are therefore known as Brahmanna Deva. My dear Lord, you are the last word of all auspicious things and the last resort of all saintly persons. Therefore, by meeting you, all of us consider to achieve perfection of our life, education, austerity, and acquisition of transcendental knowledge. Actually, you are the ultimate goal of all such transcendental achievements. My dear Lord, there is no end of your unlimited knowledge. Your form is transcendental, eternally existing in full bliss and knowledge. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Supreme Brahma, the Supreme Soul. For the time being, you are concealing your unlimited potencies, being covered by the spell of Yogamaya, your internal potency. Still, we can understand what is your exalted position. Therefore, all of us offer you our respectful obeisances. And then, Lord, you are enjoying your pastime in the role of a human being, concealing your real character of transcendental opulence. Therefore, what to speak of all the kings who are present here, even the members of Jodhu dynasty, who are constantly intermingling with you, eating with you, sitting with you. They also cannot understand. Yes. You are the original cause of all causes. You are the soul of everyone. You are the original cause of all creation. You are.
When a person dreams at night, the false hallucinated figures created by dream is accepted by the dreamer as true, and the imaginary body
created during dream is accepted as real body. For the time being, he forgets that besides the body created in hallucination, there is another real body of awakening stage. Similarly, in the awakening stage also, illusion by the influence of Maya, the conditioned soul is bewildered, thus considers sense enjoyment as real happiness. By the process of sense enjoyment of the material body, this spirit soul becomes covered and his consciousness becomes contaminated materially. And by that material consciousness, one cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Otherwise, all great mystic yogis are trying to revive their Krishna consciousness by mature practice of yoga system, just in order to understand your lotus feet and to meditate upon your transcendental form so that the accumulated resultant action of sinful activities might be counteracted by such endeavor. He says that the water of the Ganges can vanquish volumes of sinful action of a person, but the glories of Ganges water is due to your lotus feet. The Ganges water is flowing as perspiration from the lotus feet of your lordship. For the source of Ganges water is your lotus feet. And all of us, we are so fortunate that we have been able to see directly your lotus feet today. My dear Lord, we are all surrendered souls, devotees of your lordship. Therefore, be kind enough for us to bestow your causeless mercy upon us. We know it well that persons who have become liberated, being constantly engaged in devotional service, are no more contaminated by the material modes of nature, and thus have become eligible to be promoted to the kingdom of God and the spiritual world. Therefore, after this, all the sages assembled there, first of all, offering prayers to Lord Krishna. They wanted to take permission from King Dhritarashtra as well as King Yudhishthira, and thus depart from that place for their respective ashram. At that time, Vasudev, the father of Lord Krishna, the most celebrated of all pious men, approached the sages and with great humility offered his respect to the sages by falling down on their feet. Thus he submitted his statement as follows. Within quotation, "My dear great sages, you are more respectful than the demigods. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I wish that you may accept my one request. If you so desire, I shall consider it a great mercy upon me if you kindly explain what is that supreme fruitive activity by which one can counteract the resultant action of all other activities." Present clause, next paragraph. The great sage Narad was the leader of all the sages present there. Therefore, he began to say, following the inquiries of Vasudev, he said as follows, "My dear sages, it is not very wonderful to understand how Vasudev, who is the father of Krishna, the personality of Godhead, has accepted Krishna as his son only, and thus, out of his great goodness and simplicity, he is inclined to ask from us about his auspicity. It is said that familiarity breeds contempt. As such, Vasudev, having Krishna as his son, does not feel about Krishna with awe and veneration. Sometimes it is seen that persons who are living on the bank of Ganges does not consider the importance of the Ganges very much, but in order to take bath in the pilgrimage, they go far, far away.
When Lord Krishna is personally present, there was no need of Vasudev asking for instruction in this connection, because Lord Krishna's knowledge is never second in any circumstances. Influenced by the process of creation, maintenance, and annihilation, his knowledge is never influenced by any other second exigency beyond himself. Neither he is agitated by the interaction of the material qualities, or it becomes changed in course of time. His very transcendental form is full of knowledge, which never becomes agitated by ignorance, pride, attachment, envy, or sense enjoyment. His knowledge is never subjected to the fruitive action of pious or impious activities. Neither it is influenced by the three modes of material energy. The body is greater than him or equal to him because he is the supreme authority personality of Godhead. Ordinary conditioned human being may think of him as equal to a conditioned soul who is covered by his materialistic senses, mind, intelligence. But Lord Krishna is just like the sun, who is never covered by the cloud, snow, fog, or any other planet as it takes place during the time of eclipse. Less intelligent class of man, when his eyes are covered by such extra influences and think of the sun as invisible. Similarly, persons influenced by the senses, addicted to material enjoyment, cannot have a clear vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After this, all the sages present there began to address Vasudev in the presence of Lord Krishna, Balaram, and many other kings, and as requested by him, they instructed him as follows, within quotation, to counteract the reaction of karma, fruitive activities, or such desires impelling to fruitive activities, is to execute the prescribed sacrifices which are meant for worshipping Lord Vishnu, faith and devotion. Lord Vishnu is the beneficiary to the result of all sacrificial performances. Great personalities and sages who are sufficiently experienced to vision the three phases of time element, namely past, present and future, and those who are able to see everything clearly through the eyes of revealed scriptures have unanimously recommended this, that to purify the dirty accumulated dust of material contamination over the heart and to clear the path of liberation and thereby achieve the transcendental bliss, one must please Lord Vishnu. For everyone in different social orders, as the brahmanas, the kshatriyas, or the vaishyas, are living as householders, for them this worship of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Purushottam, or the original person, is recommended as the only path of auspicity. All conditioned souls within this material world have deep-rooted desires to lord it over the resources of material nature. As such, everyone wants to accumulate riches. Everyone wants to enjoy life to the greatest extent. Everyone wants a wife, home, children to become happy in this world. And everyone wants to be elevated to the heavenly planets in the next life. But these desires are the causes of one's material bondage. Therefore, to get liberation from this bondage,
one has to sacrifice is honestly earned riches, expended for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu. The only process of counteracting all sorts of material desires is to engage oneself in devotional service of Lord Vishnu. In this way, a self-controlled person, even while remaining in householder's life, should give up the three kinds of material desires, namely to acquire material opulences, to enjoy wife and children, and to desire to be elevated to higher planets, gives up the situation in householder's life and accepts the renounced order of life for engaging in oneself completely in devotional service of the Lord. Everyone, even born in higher status of life as Brahmin, Kshatriya, or Vaishya, certainly indebted to the demigods, to the sages, to the forefathers, to the living entities, and so on. And in order to liquidate all these debts, one has to perform sacrifices, study the Vedic literature, and by religious householder's life to produce generation. Anyone without discharging this indebtedness, if someone accepts the renounced order of life, certainly he falls down from such position. Today he has already liquidated the debts of forefathers and the sages. Now, by performing sacrifices, you can get yourself freed from the indebtedness to the demigods and thus take complete shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My dear Vasudev, certainly you have had already performed such many pious activities in your previous life. Otherwise, how you could be the father of Krishna and Balaram, Supreme Personality of Godhead? Production clause. Maxwell gently, Vasudev, after hearing all the sages, offered his respectful obeisances and to their lotus feet. This way, he pleased all the sages and elected them as the performers of yoga. When the sages were elected as priests of such sacrifices, they also, in their turn, induced Vasudev to collect required paraphernalia for executing the yogas in that pilgrimage. Thus, when Vasudev became initiated to perform the yogas, all the members of the Yudra dynasty took their bath, dressed them very nicely, and were garlanded with lotus flowers. All of them were very beautifully decorated. Vasudev also, along with his wives, dressed themselves with nice garments, ornaments, specifically with golden necklace on their necks, and all of them approached the arena of sacrifice with required articles in their hands, as it is necessary to offer in the sacrifice. When everything was complete at that time, there were beatings of mridanga, drums, conch shells, kettle drums, and other musical instruments. A professional dancers, both male and female, began to dance. The sutras and the magas, who were professional singers, began to offer prayers by singing. The Gandharvas, along with their wives, whose voice were very sweet, began to sing many auspicious songs. Vasudev, first of all, anointed with collyrium on his eyes, smeared butter over the body, then, along with his 18 wives, headed by Devaki, all of them sat down before the priest to be purified by the Abhishek ceremony. And all such ceremonies were observed strictly according to the principle of scripture as they were done formally in the case of the moon along with the stars. Vasudev, because of being initiated for the sacrifice, was dressed by deer skin, but all his wives were dressed with a very nice sari, bangles, necklace, ankle bells, earrings, and many other ornaments, fully decorated. Vasudeva was looking very beautiful, surrounded by his wives. All of them looked exactly like the king of heaven when he performed such sacrifices. At that time, when Lord Krishna, Lord Balaram, along with their wives, children and relatives, sat down in that great sacrificial arena, it appeared that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was present now along with his all part and parcel living entities and multi-energies. In other words, we have heard that Lord Krishna has multi-energies and parts and parcels in the Shastras. Now, in that sacrificial arena, it was practically experienced how the Supreme Personality of Godhead eternally exists along with his different energies. At that time, Lord Krishna appeared as Lord Narayana and Lord Balaram appeared as Sankarsana, the reservoir of all living entities, expired. In this way, Vasudeva satisfied Lord Vishnu by performing different kinds of sacrifices, such as Jyotishtoma, Parsa, Purna Mas. Some of these yagyas were called Prakrita, and some of them were known as Saura Satra or Vaikrita. Thereafter, the other sacrifices known as Agnihotra were also performed, offering due prescribed articles with full knowledge and action. And in this way, Lord Vishnu became pacified. Therefore, we can note in this connection that the ultimate purpose of offering oblation in this sacrifice is to please Lord Vishnu. In this age of Kali, it is very difficult to collect all such articles for offering sacrifices. People have neither means to collect them, nor they have necessary knowledge or tendency to offer such sacrifices. Therefore, in this age of Kali, when people are mostly unfortunate, full of anxiety and disturbed by various kinds of calamities, the only sacrifice recommended is to perform Sankirtan Yajna. Worship Lord Chaitanya by this Sankirtan Yajna is the only recommended process in this age. Next paragraph. After this performances of the sacrifices, Vasudeva offered ample riches, clothing, ornaments, cows, land, and made servants to the priests. Thereafter, all the wives of Vasudeva took their bath, Abhamrita Snan, and perform part of the sacrificial duties known as Putni Sanjan. Then after finishing all the required paraphernalia of the sacrifice, all of them together took bath. The lakes constructed by Parshuram, they are known as the Ram Rath. After taking bath, all the garments and ornaments which they wore, they distributed to the subordinate persons who were engaged in singing, dancing, and similar other activities. In this connection, we may note that to perform sacrifice means to distribute riches profusely. Priests and the Brahmins are offered such charities in the beginning, and other subordinate assistants are offered charities after the performance of sacrifice, by offering them used garments and ornaments. Thus, Vasudeva and his wife, after offering the used articles to the singers and the reciters, again they dressed themselves with new ornaments and dresses, and then they fed, beginning from the Brahmins down to the dogs, very sumptuously. After this, all his friends, family members, wives, children, and all the kings of Vidarbha, Koshal, Kuru, Kashi, Kaikeya, and Sinjar, all the members assembled there, the priests, the demigods, generals, people, forefathers, the ghosts, the charans, everyone were sufficiently remunerated by offering them ample articles and respectful honors. Then all the persons assembled there took permission from Lord Krishna, the husband of the goddess of fortune, and every one of them glorifying the perfection of Jagga's sacrifice paid by Vasudev. Thus they departed to their respective homes. At that time, when King Dhritarashtra, Vidur, Yudhishthir, Bhim, Arjuna, Bhishma Deva, Dronacharya, Kunti, Nakul, Sahadev, Narada, Lord Vyasadev, and many other relatives, kinsmen, were taking part from the members of the Yudha dynasty. They felt very much of the separation, and therefore they embraced each and every member of the Yudha dynasty with a great feeling. Many others who were assembled in that sacrificial arena, they also departed. After this, Lord Krishna, Lord Balaram, along with King Ugrasen, satisfied the inhabitants of Vrindavan, aided by Maharaj Nanda, and the cowherd's men were offered profusely all kinds of articles in order to worship them and to please them. Out of their great feelings of friendship, the inhabitants of Vrindavan remained there a considerable time along with the members of the Yudha dynasty. After performing this sacrifice, Vasudev was feeling very much satisfied. There was no limit of his happiness. All the members of his family were with him, and in the presence of all of them, he caught hold of the hands of Nanda Baba. He began to address him as follows: "My dear brother, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has created a great string of bondage, which is known as affection, or the bondage of love. I think it is very difficult job, even for the great sages and saintly persons, to cut up such a string of affection, or the bondage of love. My dear brother, you have exhibited such bondage of love upon me, but I was not able to return such feelings. I think, therefore, that I am ungrateful. You have exactly performed as the characteristic of saintly persons, but I shall never be able to repay you. I have no means to repay your friendly dealings. Still, I am confident that our bondage of love will never break. Our friendship and relationship must continue as ever in spite of my inability to repay you. I hope you will excuse me for this inability. My dear brother, in the beginning, on account of my being imprisoned, I could never act as a friend to do you something good. And at the present moment, although I am very much opulent, I have become blind on account of my material prosperity. I therefore could not satisfy you properly, even at this time. My dear brother, you are so nice and gentle that you offer all respects to others, but you don't care for any respect for your person. A person, therefore, seeking for auspicious progress of life may not possess too much material opulence so that he may not be blind and perplexed, but should take care of his friends and relatives. Next verse. When Vasudev was speaking to Nanda Maharaj in this way, at that time he was influenced by too much feeling for the friendship of Nanda Maharaj and the beneficial activities executed by him in favor of Vasudev. As such, his eyes became filled up with tears and he began to cry. Chanda Maharaj also, just to please his friend Vasudev and being too much affectionately bound up with the love of Lord Krishna and Balaram, passed 3 months along with their association in this way. All the members of Jadu dynasty tried to please the inhabitants of Vrindavan to their heart's content. After this, the members of Jadu dynasty tried to satisfy Nanda Baba and his associates, the cowherd's men, by offering them valuable dress, ornaments, and many other valuable articles, and all of them became fully satisfied. Nanda Baba and his associates were given gifts separately by Vasudev, Ugrasen, Lord Krishna, Lord Balaram, Uddhava, and all other members of the Jadu dynasty. When Nanda Baba received all these farewell presentations, he then, along with his associates, began to start for Brajabhumi, Vrindavan. The minds of the inhabitants of Vrindavan were, however, touched with Krishna and Balaram, and therefore all of them started for Mathura without their minds. Next paragraph. The members of the Vishnu family, when they saw all friends and visitors departed, they saw that the rainy season was approaching, and thus they decided to return back to Dwarka, and they were fully satisfied with Krishna as their everything. When all of them returned to Dwarka with great satisfaction, they began to describe about the sacrifice performed by Vasudev, their meeting with various kinds of friends and well-wishers, and various incidences occurred during their travel in the pilgrimages. Next paragraph. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of chapter 84, describing sacrificial ceremonies done by Vasudeva.